Our sermon text this morning is, we're continuing in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, we're reading verses 1 through 9. Again, this is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, our heavenly Father, we thank you for your God-breathed word found on the pages of the Bible. We thank you that it is fully inspired. And now we pray for your Holy Spirit to give grace that your word might be faithfully proclaimed according to Scripture, that you will fill your servant with the Holy Spirit to proclaim the word of God aright, to strengthen and edify your people. And we pray for the Holy Spirit also to fill each one of your own, that they may hear with faith and with understanding, and that they may grow in the knowledge and love of Christ. And to any who might be here outside of Christ, we pray that your Spirit would come with convicting power to lead them to repentance, but also to not despair of being lost forever, but to look upon Christ, that they might see in him the one who alone can save them and deliver them. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we're going to consider the prayer of Jonah here in chapter 2. And Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish, as it were, is like unto things that we hear elsewhere in Scripture, particularly in the Psalms. For throughout the book of the Psalms, we hear Psalms crying out for deliverance. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from enemies, deliverance from evil, deliverance from circumstances that are great trials that press down on the people of God and cause them in their distress, in their despair, to look up to God and ask for his help to be delivered from their trial. Think of, for example, Psalm 116, the beginning verses. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. What a great parallel between the words of that psalm and even what we hear in Jonah's plea for mercy, that same sense of being near unto death, being overwhelmed by powers that threaten to destroy, unhinge, and undo. And the psalmist turns unto God, whom he knows alone can deliver him from that power that seems to be ready to destroy him. And so it was with Jonah. But we can think of other psalms, Psalm 31, Psalm 25, Psalm 18, Psalm 3, and many, many more in the scripture. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, that when we find ourselves undergoing trials, some of you might be there right now. Some of you have been there but have been delivered, so you know what the psalmist, something of what the psalmist is talking about. When we are so weighed down, have any of you ever been there, that you've been so weighed down that the world about you seems dark, that inwardly you feel in your soul that you are being torn apart by your circumstances, by what has come upon you, has brought you to that place of such despair. Maybe that you've even despaired, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, despaired of life itself. And that you can't possibly pull yourself out of that by any human means that may be available to you. You've tried this way and that way, and you've looked to human helpers, and they somehow have not been able to do what you needed in those circumstances. Where else can you turn? Where have you turned? Where can you turn but to a living God who alone is able to bring your life up out of the pit? Have you been there? Beloved, that's where we find Jonah this morning. Where he has been swallowed up, as it were, by death. And we know from previous sermons, we know that Jonah somehow deserved what he experienced. That he was purposefully fleeing from God. That he had turned his back on his hope, his deliverer, his rock, his stay, and had gone to attempted to go to a far-off place. But the Lord dealt with him. The Lord caught him by the power of his hand and by the storm that raged, and exacted a confession from Jonah that he served the living God, and that he was actually being disobedient, and that the only solution for Jonah and for the men on the ship on which he had set sail was to throw him overboard so that the wrath and anger of God would be pacified. And Jonah thought, probably as he was falling headlong over the ship, that this is it. I'm going to drown in the midst of the sea, and that'll be it. And I'll be brought down to Sheol. But instead, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, God had prepared a great fish, and it swallowed Jonah whole. And somehow, we know not how, but we trust that it is so, that Jonah was preserved, entombed, as it were, 3 days and three nights in the belly of this fish, somehow able to breathe, somehow still alive, yet suffering a living death, as it were, in the belly of the fish. And it was in this three-day period when Jonah had nothing but blackness all around him. He was engulfed in the slime and the seaweed and whatever else was in the belly of this fish, with just enough air to breathe, that he was brought to his senses. That he turned to the very God from whom he was fleeing. And as he found himself in there, maybe not even really comprehending where he was, he called out to God. Open your Bibles and look with me at these verses. Jonah, first of all, acknowledges that the Lord has answered him and heard his voice. He says, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol," and Sheol in the Hebrew language is the place of the dead. It is a word for the grave. Sometimes it's used positively as a place where the good dead go, and sometimes as the place where the wicked dead go, and sometimes it's just the place where the dead go. But he says that I was as good as a dead man, and out of the belly of Sheol I cried to God, the covenant God of Israel, Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the ends of the earth, and you heard my voice. Notice, brothers and sisters, that the first chapter is about, it's told in the third person, it's about Jonah. But here in the second chapter, we actually hear from Jonah. And he's in this, engaged in this dialogue between himself and the Lord, and he says, "You heard my voice. In the belly of this fish, in the pits of Sheol, you heard my cry, my distress. You answered me." And then we notice that Jonah confesses the sovereign hand of God in his journey into the depths. Look at verse 3. "For you," he's acknowledging God's hand in this, "for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." What is Jonah doing there? He's acknowledging that God is sovereign over all the circumstances and of this trial and of this judgment upon him, God is the author. God has sovereignly appointed the storm. God sovereignly appointed the fish to swallow him. Jonah acknowledges that God's absolute sovereign, powerful hand has brought him into the heart of the seas and into the flood that surrounded him, even as he was swallowed by the fish. And Jonah confesses in the beginning of verse 4 that the Lord has dealt justly with him. "Then I said, I am driven from your sight." In other words, when Jonah was swallowed, he thought, "This is it, God. I was running away from you. Now you actually are driving me from your sight. Maybe this is the end. Maybe I'm going to get what I have deserved. I am driven away from your sight. Why? Because I have disobeyed you. I've run away from you. I've turned my back toward you." But then as the verse goes on, the second part of the verse, Jonah sees in confessing his sinfulness that there is hope for him in the place of mercy. "Yet I shall look upon your holy temple." What was in the temple of God? The Ark of the Covenant. And covering the Ark was the mercy seat. And Jonah, in confessing his sin before God, also finds that there is hope for him. And it's not something that Jonah can manufacture within himself, brothers and sisters. The hope that wells up from within Jonah, that he will yet again look at God's holy temple, is because he knows the character of his God, that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And if we have been sinful, if we have been disobedient, if we ourselves have turned our backs upon God and his commandments and his ways, and find ourselves running from God headlong into disobedience, it's often that God meets us there and by a hand of chastisement lays hold of us and says to us, where are you going to run? Look unto me. Remember who I am. I'm not only Almighty God. I'm not only a God who punishes iniquity, but I'm also a God who saves and a God who shows steadfast love and mercy to the undeserving. And so Jonah says, I will yet again look upon your holy temple where the mercy seat is. And Jonah describes his descent then in the next verses into the belly of Sheol. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. It's as though in those verses that Jonah is finding himself being sentenced to a final and unforgiving imprisonment, even though he's expressed this hope, this unexpected hope of looking to the holy temple of God, he finds himself going even deeper. And was it not the imprisonment of his own rebellion and the tasting of the fruit of his disobedience that he's experiencing in this moment? But then Jonah, in the latter part of verse 6, describes God's intervention. Yet, you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. It's as if God said unto Jonah, O my son, O my servant, you have gotten a taste in the belly of the fish of what you deserve from me. But yet, I will deal graciously with you. And in the pit that you find yourself, I will lift you up. And I will give you forgiveness and grace upon grace upon grace. Grace that is greater than your sin. Grace that is greater than your sin. There is a lesson here, brothers and sisters, that we as believers may from time to time stray far or fall deeply away from God. But if we truly belong to God, he has not for an instant let go of us. Even in the belly of the fish, God's hand is holding Jonah fast. It says in Psalm 139, if I try to go to the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. That's what's happening with Jonah right now, in the belly of the fish. And Jonah describes how the Lord intervened. He says, when my life was fainting away, maybe he was gasping for breath. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came into your holy temple. At the moment Jonah saw himself as utterly lost, he remembered the Lord. The Lord touched him in such a way that he called to his mind. It welled up from within his heart. He remembered the Lord. When his life was almost at his end, he remembered the Lord, and he was able to breathe out a prayer unto his God. With what seemed to maybe be his dying breath, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came into your holy temple. At the moment Jonah saw himself as utterly lost, by an act of God's grace, he remembered the Lord, meaning he remembered God's character and the promise of mercy. And he believed that his prayer, even in the darkness of the belly of the fish, entombed as it were, would come to the mercy seat of God. And it's also at that moment that Jonah realizes the utter folly of idolatry. For he has been mercifully dealt with by a living God, a God who chastises, a God who pursues his wayward servant, a God who opens his eyes to sin, a God who out of grace alone saves. And he says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. And Jonah, what was Jonah's idol? His idol was simply this, that I could turn my back on God and get away with it. That I could just go on and live my life in Tarshish and forget my calling. That I could live out my earthly days forgetting that I was called to serve a living and true God. That was the idol that Jonah had made in his heart and in his mind, that somehow he thought, well, God, you're just going to let me go. But he didn't. And he wouldn't, and he couldn't. You see, God loved Jonah. And this is what we need to hear as we look at these verses. God loved Jonah. And in every aspect of God's dealing with him that we've seen in this short book, God is dealing with his servant Jonah in love. Fashioning him, refashioning him into the character of a child of God. And so this is a real love that does not let go of us, even when we sin. God pursues us in our flights from him, which leads Jonah to remember who God is and to lift up praise to God for the promise that he will not forsake him. But with the voice of thanksgiving will I sacrifice to you what I have vowed. And we don't know what Jonah vowed. Maybe it's he vowed to serve the Lord when he was first called. But what I have vowed I will pay. And then he acknowledges in the very last part, salvation belongs to the Lord. Notice, as we've talked about before, the parallelism. The sailors had made their vows to the Lord. Now Jonah, coming to a place of worship, says he will pay his vows to the Lord, and he acknowledges, and this is the part that we'll look at more carefully tonight, salvation belongs to the Lord. There's nothing that Jonah did to deserve God's grace. And he knows it. He knows that if he is going to be delivered from Sheol, from the belly of the fish, it must be of the Lord. Beloved, as we prepare in just a moment to come to the Lord's table, no matter where we are, if we are in circumstances today where we find ourselves in the pit, and not necessarily because we've been sinning against the Lord, and I said that to you before and I say to you again, not every trial that we go through in this life is because somehow we've sinned against the Lord, right? Sometimes trials come upon us from the hand of God that for that very purpose, that we might lean heavily and cry out from the pit to God who alone can save us. That God sometimes strips away from us all self-reliance so that we might be more and more wholly God-reliant in our lives. But we recognize in those circumstances and those circumstances when we have sinned against God and yet have found the promises of mercy in and through repentance, that salvation, however it comes to us in Christ, comes as a gift the moment we believe. And the moment that we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are delivered from the penalty of sin, from the guilt of sin. And that Christ so takes hold of us, and our Father in heaven so takes hold of us, that whatever comes our way in the remainder of our lives, He is able to work together for our good and for His glory. And it is only by faith that we can lay hold of that. And even then, sometimes, brothers and sisters, isn't it true that we struggle? And what does that mean to teach us? That even our faith is a gift of God. And God alone can increase our faith in the midst of the trials that we suffer in this life. But underlying all that is the assurance that as God has laid hold of us in Christ, no matter what depths to which we are taken of sorrow, of despair, that we will not be let go of by our faithful covenant-making God. But there's also a sense that even as God has delivered us from the penalty of sin, there's also a sense in which we are being saved, that we are being conformed to the image of Christ, that we are being set free from the power of sin at work in us. And this is what we see happening with Jonah. God is putting to death in Jonah his sense of self-sufficiency. God is putting to death in Jonah the unreal idols that Jonah has made of God that have come from his own heart and his own imagination but aren't necessarily true to the character of God. And we see in this passage that God is actually truly being gracious unto Jonah, and through this trial is going to bring him to a fuller understanding of the power and of the grace of God's salvation in and through Christ. And so as we experience those trials, brothers and sisters, in this life, if we find ourselves even in this very moment crying out from the pit, know that God has not let go of you, but He holds you fast. And as you cry out to Him, rest assured that he hears you from the holy place of his habitation. And that though you may not see it in the moment from that perspective of the pit, he who is able to lift you up and set your feet on a rock and take you out of the mire in which you find yourself, he will surely do it in his time and in his way and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you are our strong deliverer. You are the one whose right hand holds us fast and does not let go of those who have believed on you, having repented of sin and trusted in your gospel of grace. Father, you deal with us not as enemies any longer, but as children. And as you deal with us as children, so you desire to bring us to that place where we have abandoned all our self-sufficiency and lean wholly on Jesus' name. We pray that you would undo and dismantle and cast away all the idols of our hearts, and that we, as we live before you in this life and in this world, might come to know you more deeply and profoundly as the God who holds us and saves us and will deliver us for your own glory and for our eternal good. May it be so with us, and may we have such confidence in you and in your right hand of deliverance. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.